Welcome to Everything Belongs, a podcast for those living, creating, leading, and thriving while in the deep end of life. I'm your host, Madison Morgan, leadership coach, creative consultant, and speaker. I coach soulful visionaries and go-getting mavericks who desire to create art of their lives and take their work both deeper and higher. In this show, I'll be bringing you an overflow of conversations with my favorite thought leaders, teachers, healers, and creatives who inspire me to live more fully in my own power, worth, and wholeness, along with offering some episodes where I share my own practical insights, behind-the-scenes peeks into my process, and tools I use on my own journey. There will not be much we shy away from here because at this table, everything belongs. Therefore, you can expect me to ask the uncomfortable, juicy questions. You can expect that you'll hear people you disagree with on the podcast and maybe even ideas you've never previously considered. I trust you with your own discernment as we take this deep dive. You can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and be challenged by the guests as they share their diverse experiences and views of the world. It's my hope through learning to see that all of it belongs that you will develop a more sovereign way of holding yourself so you can playfully go after the life, relationships, and career you are made for, to let all parts of yourself have a seat at the table, to lead and create from your deepest truth and become your own source of validation, all because you finally know you're worthy of it. All that's required to get started, that you show up curious and willing. Let's dive in. Don't you just love an episode with a disclaimer? I am speaking to Audrey Assad today, and before we even dive into the conversation, I want to let you know that Audrey and I talk about PTSD symptoms and religious trauma, and there's also mention of psilocybin use and using plant medicine to help heal. Now, Audrey and I both share our own experiences using psilocybin and plant medicine, but as you know, that is in no way medical advice. We are both sharing our personal experiences as mystics and on our own personal journey, and I just don't want that information to be misconstrued. We talk about it very honestly and openly in this conversation, but I encourage you to please not only do your own research, but talk to your therapist, a clinical psychologist if you have one, and your medical professional, because they will better be able to advise you than this episode about our own personal journeys. So, if you haven't heard of Audrey Assad, Audrey is a very talented musician and one whose journey I've been following for a while because I listened to her music back whenever she was a Christian music artist and I was a Christian. Audrey has come a long way since that time where she was just touring full-time as a Christian musician and now gets to share her music and new music very, very soon. You'll hear more about that in the episode as a healer and a mystic and singer, songwriter, and full embodied human. Audrey, for those of you who haven't been introduced to her music, is the daughter of a Syrian refugee, a parent of two, a musician, a producer, a songwriter, an author. And like I said, I believe that Audrey is also a healer and a mystic based on my experience of being with her. She's been making music and touring full-time, like I said, since 2008, and in the recent years has been very public about her religious deconstruction, as well as her use of medicinal plants to find relief from PTSD and religious trauma. Audrey uses modalities such as archetypal mapping, oracle practices such as runes and tarot, embodiment work, and musical healing. There's so much robustness inside this episode because Audrey and I both come from very similar backgrounds in religious spaces and have walked similar paths healing. So we'll talk in this conversation about liberation through different religious spaces. We talk about miracles, having both experienced full-bodied miracles and miraculous healings. We talk about full-bodied integration of our healing journeys, having deep communion in the body, Audrey's Kickstarter campaign, and so much more. This is one of the most mystical and soulful episodes I've ever recorded from the podcast, and I'm really excited to share it with you. I would love to know how it lands, so you can definitely tag Audrey and I on Instagram and let us know how this episode lands for you. And of course, if you're loving the show, it would be so meaningful to me that you leave a 5-star review and let me know what you like about the conversations. It really helps me know who you are enjoying having on the show and how I can create episodes that serve you and that we all just enjoy so much more. I am going to just make a note that Audrey's Kickstarter link is in the links in the show notes. And Her Kickstarter is only open for a limited time, but it is really actually moved around the podcast schedule because I wanted Audrey's interview to come out while her Kickstarter was live, because I don't know that there's anything more important right now outside of supporting ourselves and our own healing than supporting art and musicians and people who are continuing to make music based on their own journeys. I know personally I've turned to art every step of the way through the pandemic and through my own healing journey, and continue to lean on music as a resource for me. So if you are feeling generous and you have some extra money to spare that you want to circulate to Audrey for her Kickstarter, please click the link in the show notes, and she's offering some pretty beautiful kickbacks for doing so as well. Well, without further ado, let's dive into today's show and hear from Audrey Assad. My goodness, Audrey, I feel like this conversation has been a really long time coming. I have listened to your music for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And it's been by way of Instagram and mutual friends that we've become like digitally acquainted. And mm-hmm. it's been really fun to follow your journey, because as I listen to the newer music you've put out since the pre-deconstruction music was so resonant, it's been so fun to be able to track with you in the resonance mm-hmm. of your music. So I just want to start by saying thank you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm so honored. I don't think I knew that you'd listened to my music for a long time till today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes me feel really warm, because it means that you are someone who has at very least had a similar experience to my own. And that's a really special thing to feel with someone.
Yeah, it feels that way whenever I listen, which is like, and I think that you know Joy Williams, very similar mm-hmm. with Joy. Her mm-hmm. one of her albums, which I can't remember the name of, I was just like, that was the burn it all down phase for me. So it was like, oh, thank mm-hmm. you. But it's been really, I know not everyone came along that journey from the previous place that we both were in Christian right. spaces, but it's been really fun to see the people whose journeys have tracked along yeah. the same trajectory.
I agree. It's a wonderful, I don't want to call it a club because anyone can be in it, but it's just communing over not the bitterness or even the trauma, because I've done that a lot, communed over the trauma, which is not bad. It's just, there's also a side that I love when I'm communing with the acceptance, like with other people, accepting what we went through, where we came from, and integrating it into our lives and mm-hmm. taking back our sense of choice. And it's such a beautiful communal experience.
Well, you posted something on Instagram this morning, and I pulled it. I wanted to read it because I feel like it actually really aligns with what you're talking about. And you said, "What if I didn't self-censor? What if I wasn't perfect? What if I risked everything? What if I lost everything? What if I don't know what to do? What if I don't know myself? What if they're right? What if they're wrong? What if we don't know? What if it doesn't matter? What if it doesn't mean anything? What if I'm not real? What if I'm God? What if I'm the devil? What if I will never see you? What if I will never know you? What if I will never understand you? What if I will never understand? What if I understand? What if I am? What if you? What if?" And I found that to be so beautiful. And it feels like all of the questions that I wrestle with and how I had to ask to get here, and I continue to have to ask myself mm. to get to the truth. I want to talk about telling the truth. Can you share with me a little bit of the journey that you and I spoke of that has gotten you here? Because I know that journey has had day after day and year after year of telling more and more and more of the truth.
I'd love to do that. So this story is always going to be my interpretation of events. So I just want to say that at the outset, because I think it's important for me when recounting my past to remember and remind myself that it is not the entire story or the entire truth, but it is mine. It is my truth. And this, that is what I am sharing. AKA, it's not prescriptive. Everybody do what you want. So I was raised in the Northeast in a home where my mom is American and my dad is a Syrian refugee who came here in the 70s to start a new life with his family. And so I come from an immigrant home, a multi-ethnic home. This is something that I did not really lean into for myself until my latter 20s when I finally came home to my identity in this dimension as a person with Arab blood and ancestry. And I did grow up with the food, the language, some of the customs. So it is a huge part of me. My father and my mom both also happened to be part of a church called the Plymouth Brethren, which is a fundamentalist sort of Quaker-esque denomination of Christianity with a lot of rules and insular practices. And so some people would definitely call it a cult. That's just a metaphor, but it was the type of place where, because of gender, women were silenced in extreme ways. I would say extreme in the sense that, in no church building, in no church environment, or in front of any man over the age of 12, women could not speak of God out loud, read the scripture out loud, offer any thoughts on anything for any reason. And we had to cover our heads. And we also had to dress in certain ways to be modest, not just sexually speaking, but sort of like covering our glory. That was the whole thing that I was being coached into. I emerged from that in my early 20s for the first time because I met some Baptists at college and I thought they were wild and sort of secular. And they
I just
corrupted
have to
me
pause on the Baptist. I'm
into,
like, okay. For those of you who listen to this and just appreciate my ramblings about Christianity, I want you to know that the Baptists are what I previously thought were some of the most fundamentalist versions of Christians in the United States. And so I'm just for context, like the Christianity that really I feel fucked me up was Baptist. So,
Yeah,
okay.
they were a step into progressive spaces for me because, and here's the only reason why, is that women could sing in front of people who were mixed gender. I was not permitted to do that because it would be considered preaching to men to sing gospel songs in front of them so they heard you telling the truth. And that would be a sin against yourself and them and God and their order that it was supposed to be set up in. And so there was a real emphasis placed on women being totally and completely literally silent. When I went to the Baptist church and women were singing solos in their like pantsuits, I was like, and they didn't have head coverings on. And I'm watching a woman with a microphone on a stage and thinking, oh my fucking God, I didn't know that could be a thing. Like it was passion. Christian passion conferences that totally it actually brought me out of bondage there, and I will forever be thankful for those moments where I would be in an arena and see Christy Knuckles up on stage. She's a Christian worship leader that was birthed out of this movement called Passion that happened in the 2000s and it the 90s and the 2000s was like these giant Christian conferences with 30,000
Oh, yeah.
college students, and they're it's a stadium, so there's just like crazy sound and lights and smoke. Like you're at a huge concert with like 30,000 people, and you're on this wavelength with them because you're singing these worship songs, these anthems with like rhythmic progression. And it was like nothing else I had ever experienced. And I just came alive to my own gift because I was in those rooms and I thought I could do that. I want that. And it's not because it was fame. It was because it was power. I just was like, wow, powerful women. Beth Moore, Christine Kane, all these justice speakers in that space. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. Like, I regret times in my life a little bit, I suppose, in human me sense, times where I totally threw those people under the bus in my own psyche to feel less in bondage because of my own pain. It's like I thank them, every single one. And it's so I've come through nihilism and atheism, which are not bad places. They are places just like any other. And I needed to go through those places to explore the edges and the boundaries and the borders of my own doubt of all the things I had been taught my whole life. And then in 2019, after I had just been separated from my ex-husband, my now ex-husband, I had two kids. I have two children with him. And we were working through so much at that time. I had been going to trauma therapy, doing EMDR, got a CPTSD diagnosis at that time and OCD, and was just beginning to try to crawl out of the hole that I felt like I was in because I was so out of alignment and out of integrity with my deepest essence and had been publicly for years as a Christian musician and worship leader. I did that whole thing sincerely searching for what would fulfill me, and I was finding it, and it included all of that, my Christian career, which is where I've spent the majority of my years making music professionally. And in 2019, in the middle of all of that kind of coming forward to be processed for the first time, amid the panic attacks, the physical tics, the lost nights of sleep, the skin breakouts, the gut distress of all of that, the food allergies, the anxiety, the OCD, all of my past pain came forward in the same several years to be processed with me. And I turned to psilocybin mushrooms because I was trying all these other things and finding myself still so overwhelmed and flooded and stuck, even though in my mind I knew the answers to those issues and problems lay in my body and in getting in touch with it and getting into it. And I just could not find a way to stay there. And mushrooms changed that for me and set me on, what I can only describe as a pathway of integration. It's like, the pain, the suffering of my past, where I come from, yes. The things I have learned along the way and the things I am learning in the future that are would probably scandalize me in this moment, yes. My body, its supposed dysfunctions, all being part of a language given to me to wake me up. So I thank every cell in my body that has ever been dysfunctional. And every cell in my body that has ever given me breath and life, I thank it. It's all, everything is God now. And that is where I am now. So people out there writing articles about worrying about what's going to happen to me, I accept them too as a perfect part of this moment. I wouldn't change it. Here I am. I'm just like in a posture of yes, and it feels so good. So that is my story in as nutshell a version as I feel like I could condense it into.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I feel like if you were to fold up that long story into a tiny piece of paper and punch a hole through it, I could be like, me too, through the whole damn thing. Even like whenever you were saying Beth Moore and Chris Kane, their names are actually listed on my website under the mentors, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Because same for me. I saw them and was like, wow. I want that. And I saw something in them that, although was wrapped up and in things that I no longer agree with, to use their term of being a forerunner, I really do feel like that if we see them as slowly breaking out of patriarchal ideas of what it means to be a woman while staying connected to God, they're two and three generations before us in that process. And
Absolutely.
so
When it
I
would have been
just,
even harder in culture.
yes, like
Even
I
harder.
am so grateful to them. And then what you were saying about the physical symptoms and allergies, and I'm usually really cautious, and I said this before we even hit record, I'm cautious about talking about And maybe I shouldn't be, because in my private conversations with clients, I'm much more candid than I am publicly, but the physical distress, the food allergies, the hives, the acne, the, what I thought was onset of fibromyalgia, the inability to hold food in without immediately having to go to the bathroom because my body was in so much distress in my teens and twenties, and also not sleeping for much of my teen years. Like when I say just trauma work completely obliterated all of those things, people get a little prickly.
I get it.
I understand. And also that is the truth of my experience.
Same.
And what you said about psychedelics, I didn't start using psychedelics until the pandemic. And I started microdosing and then I've had a couple ceremonies. And when you said integration, there have been moments that like, I just realized something that I had known, but my whole body realized it.
As opposed to all the books
I've read and all the learning I've done in one moment, dancing on the dance floor on Halloween, dressed up as a mushroom. I'm actually just going to share this because I think it's so funny. Some of my clients know this. I didn't know that I could do whatever I want.
Right.
I know that seems really simple. I know it's like, of course, but I'm at a Halloween party. I don't really love alcohol. So I did some psychedelic mushrooms and my partner had to help me unzip my outfit because it was one of those that like one piece it zips in the back and we're in the bathroom. And I had this whole experience of, there was a guy I used to work with there and his girlfriend, and I didn't really want to talk to them. I just wanted to keep dancing, but I have this inclination that I need to start taking care of everyone and make sure everyone's okay. This isn't even my party. I'm not even hosting. So I go off the dance floor. I go over to them, near them, because there was taffy by them. That's why I walked by them. I was like, there's some taffy. I need to get this taffy, but I don't want to talk to them. So I unwrap the taffy and I eat the taffy. And I just notice they don't say anything to me. I don't say anything to them. And I eat the taffy and I, you know, throw it away. And I go back and go to the bathroom with my partner. And I was like, I didn't have to talk to them. It was truly a revelation. And I know this seems so simple, but I was like, they didn't talk to me and I didn't talk to them and I didn't have to, and I didn't want to. So I just didn't. And I looked at her and I said, I can do whatever I want. I'm like, I said, this is a party and I can do whatever I want at a party. And she just starts hysterically laughing. And she goes, are you just now realizing that you can do whatever you want at a party? And I sort of crying. And I was like, yes, like I really didn't know. And now this phrase, like, I can do whatever I want. Like, it actually blew my mind and truly set me free. But like, I knew that if someone had been like, you can do whatever you want, I'm like, yeah, I know. But I have been able to actually live. I can do whatever I want without feeling like I'm about to get in trouble, which I didn't realize was the undertone of my social experience for my entire life.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me share.
What a powerful oracle your body is.
It's right.
I love that story. I love that what you said about your whole body realizing something that you've always known. That is absolutely the work in a sentence, is realizing in your body what you have always known. If you do that every day, or not even if you do it every day, but if that is all you try to do, if that's all I try to do every day, I don't need to do anything else. It is, my body will tell me, it is in coming to my senses that I find provision, abundance, wisdom, integrity, joy, pleasure, anger, acceptance. That's where I find it. And I love how much you know that and how you speak about it. It is profound.
I want to hear more about your experience in multiple ways within the story you told. I want to start by saying, whenever I shared this with you earlier, I was doing research for this podcast episode, which I always do, and I could almost find nothing about your art and what you do on the first couple links, because when I hit interview, it was, is Audrey Assad a Christian? Audrey Assad divorced. And I thought, this is so odd, because I mean, I care about those things, but I don't really care so much about those things because I don't, whenever I experience you, I don't think of that. But the Christian world, those were all very Christian articles with people's, like, my opinion on Audrey Assad. I was like, are you kidding me? I was getting really fired up. And I'm just wondering, like, what it has been like, because I know, I'll speak for my journey deconstructing with, before I was really doing any public work, was really hard. I was, when I got divorced, I was doing public work, but I was surrounded by people who really would support me in that at that time. And it seems like you became somewhat of a spectacle in the Christian community, being that this is, and I saw this happen with Gungor. I saw this happen with so many people. And I'm just wondering what that was like for you and what it's been like to really, because you seem to have such a space around you of forgiveness. So maybe that's not true, but I said it is.
Oh, I very much do. I've worked really hard to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that journey been like for you? Like, what was it like in the moment? And also, what is it like now engaging with that?
So I don't know when this podcast will air. So this may be out of date by the time it airs, but I'm running a Kickstarter right now for my new music, which I, for context, for anyone who hasn't heard of me or knows my work or doesn't know my work, I started releasing albums in 2010 with a major Christian label called Sparrow Records. And I did two records and a live from Soho, like Apple Music record, while I was there at the label. And then I did a bunch of tours with big Christian artists and had songwriting cuts. And I had a real, like, kind of one of those rises at the beginning where people are like, you could be the next Christian in Ingrid Michaelson. I'm like, so we put yarn in my hair on my album cover. They were like, you're quirky. Let's just put some yarn in your hair and put you in front of some antiques. You know, it was like there was this real kind of avatar being crafted. And I was also a Catholic by that time. So I mentioned this because I became a Roman Catholic in 2007, which for me at the time was a massive liberation. I was taught that the Roman Catholic Church was like the bastion of evil. It was the fake church, the false church, the Whore of Babylon, which is like a metaphoric image in the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, that I read looking for clues on when Jesus was going to return and, you know, ignite into history, like riding down like Gandalf on the white horse to save the day in this massive battle between God. I had this whole fantasy life around that because I was handed that. So the Catholic Church was like, it was apostasy, which in the Christian world means like you're a heretic. You're leaving behind the truth, union with God, union with yourself, any chance at going to heaven when you die, like you're leading people astray, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, you're like all these horrible apocalyptic things. And so I did that in 2007, and it was a big deal. In the Christian world, as a Christian artist, I was one of the first people to come into that as a Catholic, and it was scandalous for that industry. So even though I've been in these very conservative spaces, I have an archetypal theme in my life of being a disruptor and a Joan of Arc, and I've come to accept this about myself. So to answer your question, my experience of disappointing people and letting people down and freaking them out and making them feel suspicious and making them feel uncomfortable is my journey in this life. And I feel total joy about it now. I think there's been times for sure, like along the way where I'm like, God, this is exhausting. But that I have learned is only true because I was not living in integrity. That is why it was exhausting. I didn't know I wasn't living in integrity, but I wasn't. Not quite. So now that I'm learning how to live in integrity and let my whole body realize things, and now it's easy to do that. I don't give a shit. In fact, I feel loving and happy to do it. I'm sort of like, oh, okay, your avatar of me was this, and I get to shatter that, or at least, you know, disabuse you of this notion of me, and you're going to hate that. And that's exactly what it needs to be then. I accept it. Like, I don't even want you to react differently. That's kind of how I feel. You know, it's for my ego too, and my journey to like detach from my avatar being basically fully founded and based around pleasing other people. And I really resonate with the story you shared as well. It's like, I do whatever I want. And that's my sacred calling. And it's my work to untangle the concept of what I want from like as many things as I can, to get it as close down to the core essence of me as I can, to my heart's desires, to my gut's desires, to my pussy's desires, to my roots' desires and my third eye, and like really coming to those places in my body to line them up and say, what do you want? So, because it can get very clouded by trauma and by culture enculturation and by dogma, you know, and by nurture and by nature. There's all these things competing and sort of in concert to form our worldview and our idea of ourselves. And so my work is just like undoing that and untangling that. And so as I do that, it's like, well, if people are mad, angry, grossed out, freaked out, great. You know, awesome. It doesn't matter. It matters for them. It does not matter for me.
The amount of work that I just know personally that it takes to get to that place where people can have their perceptions and projections, which is absolutely what it is. Just they had created something of you in their mind mm-hmm. that represented something of them to them. Mm-hmm. And you're mm-hmm. no longer that. And that is shattered. And the projection, I mean, now we're yeah. seeing this with social media. It's everywhere. Projection's not new, but the amount of work it takes to get to, yeah, and I'm okay. And also, yeah, and I love you is so beautiful. And what you were saying about honoring the want of your body, it sounds like the environment you came from was the antithesis of that. Mm-hmm. Like your voice, your body, your wants, your desires all clamped down and hidden, mm-hmm. perhaps even from you. What has it been like allowing that to, well, I guess I want to circle backwards, because something I sense as I'm talking to you is that the thing that was the thread that was pulling you through those different liberation moments, through the different churches, through seeing people sing, and then you starting to sing and you starting to share, all of that seems to share the same threads. So it seems like from my vantage point, although there wasn't full alignment, there was still an alignment to something higher that seems to be still very much the center of your world.
Yes. It's like, I would say I've been having whatever you want to call them, right? There's all these metaphors we use for these experiences. I've been having experiences that some would call psychic or prophetic or mystical or religious. There's all these metaphors for these experiences. I've been having regular and intense moments of connection to something beyond me for as long as I can remember. And this has manifested throughout my childhood in dreams and trances and visions. And I had no idea how to allow that to live in my body, because I was raised in a very repressive tradition around the body. It was very Gnostic and in the mind. And the only exception to that is that I did grow up, and I will, again, always be thankful for this. I think it saved my life in a lot of ways, but I grew up in a real singing church. We sang in four-part harmony a cappella, and I learned how to vibrate with music with a group of people with nothing but voices in a very unique way amongst most of my acquaintance. I don't know a lot of people who grew up singing that much all the time, every day. I sang every day, both solo and like alone with myself and then with other people, every day of my whole life till I was probably in my early 20s. And when I think about all the things that I weathered through that season in terms of disembodiment and purity culture and kind of being coached out of knowing my own intuitive voice, my yes and my no, and yet I was singing every day, and that kept me closer to my body than anything else really could have. All the ideas in the world that I could have been fed then to counteract these disembodied stories, it was doing the singing, the vibration that led me like along the path, and still somehow mysteriously, as you said, in touch with something beyond me that was leading me through all of those phases. That's very much my experience.
I'm so curious. Did you share earlier that you were a Pisces moon?
Yes.
I also mm-hmm. have a Pisces moon and mm-hmm. experience and have always experienced intense dreams. And I'm someone who just lives by that the dream is for the dreamer, because as you might know from the Christian church, people will say, mm-hmm. I have a word for you, and it's sometimes mm-hmm. manipulative. And so I've really withheld sharing some of my dreams with people where it feels like maybe I should. And I've played with just asking people, I had a dream about you. Do you want to hear about it? And letting them make a meaning of it.
Yeah.
But it's really often that people will say, oh my God, this thing that you had no idea was happening. And, I try to be really unattached, but I've had really, you didn't mention charismatic movement in your story, but I have really intense moments in charismatic churches from speaking in tongues and having prophetic dreams and words and the whole thing. To psychedelic experiences.
There's something very real about it. There's something very real about it. And I also had a phase in the charismatic movement, but it was interesting. I didn't encounter charismatic worship until I was in my 20s. And then it was as a Catholic that I really got into it. Because there was a whole group of charismatic Catholics that I knew. And what people, for people who are listening who don't know what that means, although I'm sure if you know Madison's work, you've heard about this, but charismatic Christian groups often, you know, they, without realizing it, I think, utilize very biologically wise practices of basically circling via music, repetition, like rhythmic music. You're like getting into flow state without knowing that that's what it is, and channeling and having these crazy healing experiences, that some of which get capitalized on and like manipulated and turned into some pretty corrupt things.
But sometimes they're real. And I've experienced a faith healing, and I've seen faith healing.
I have experienced several. Yeah, it's real. It is. Well, it's real in my experience. I can say that. I have experienced those things. I have been part of those things since becoming whatever you want to call it, a post-Christian.
Well, you have people like Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would love to share a story about that, actually, if you're open to it.
Yeah.
So I haven't really shared about this publicly, actually anywhere to this point, but I've, asked the permission of this friend who is involved, if I can do that when the moment feels right, and it feels right right now. So I want to share it. And I don't, again, this is my experience. I'm not prescribing it to anyone or saying that it would happen in the same circumstances with us there again. I actually have no idea, but I just know it was so powerful for me, coming back into union with something that I think as an ex-Christian, I had sort of lost touch with, which is that miracles are possible and they happen, but it's the miracle is our bodies and what alignment in our bodies and in flow state will do. So the source has changed, but the reality is still there. But I was, I've discovered a knack, I think, for, I don't want to know what to call it. It's body reading, I guess. Like I can touch someone's body and hear and see things almost like I'm having dreams as I'm massaging them. And it happens with friends sometimes. I've asked permission to share those things. Some people say yes, some people say no. I'm telling one of my best friends about this. His name is Seth, and we're in a band together called Lev. We make dance music. I'm telling him about this, and he says, I would love to experience that. Would you try it on me, basically? And so we, without any of the details needing to be revealed here, we go on this like hour and a half journey where I'm just touching like lightly and massaging a little bit with my fingers through his right. I start on his right elbow because he said he had tension there, and I start seeing, he said, okay, just tell me everything you see, even if it sounds totally ridiculous. So I was like, okay. So I just narrated my way around his arm and to his shoulder blade. I'm saying things as disparate as like baseball and bullying, green, purple hat, just like all kinds of pictures and images. And I navigate to his left collarbone and I touch a spot and I hear his ex-girlfriend's name. So I say it. And he doesn't react in this moment. Later on, what I find out is that the week prior, he had been working with an intuitive body worker who does myofascial release, and she had touched that spot and said the same name. And when I did that, I found out later, we spoke hours later, he came into full belief into what, in what was happening in this moment. And when he did, all of a sudden I could hear all these very specific things. So the long story short is that he had a hiatal hernia underneath his rib cage, where his rib cage came together. And I felt it with my hand, like poking out. He had had it, trouble with that since he was a young teenager, and could not eat like a fistful of food at a time because it would not pass through. He had to eat like tiny handfuls, couldn't keep weight on, all this kind of thing. And I put my hand on it and I heard a series of phrases that seemed totally unrelated to one another. And then his body went into convulsions and I was like, what is happening right now? Like, okay, hold space. So I'm just holding space. It's kind of the kind of thing you would think of, not as extreme as The Exorcist, but just like the body going through some really strong gyrations and flailing motions. No words, nonverbal experience. I held space. I held space and waited and waited and waited and waited while his body just started doing something, you know? And by the way, we were not on psychedelics at this point. This is a sober experience, I would say. And he comes out of that and cries for half an hour on my lap like a child. And his hernia just unraveled. Just gone, like an indentation where there was this nub, you know, coming up from under the skin. And he's eating food and he's like, oh my God, it's going through. And I'll leave the details out, but I could not speak of it for days. I was just jolted, like shocked by this energy that the body, when it comes into alignment with the spirit and the mind, and when two people can do that. And it was like the Bible came alive, like where two or more are gathered in God's name, there God is in the midst. I was like, it's always and only ever been about coming into yes and union with all that is. When you can just align with it, everything is possible because nothing is not something else. Everything is everything. And when you're in that space, it's like anything can happen. It is so incredible. And yet I find myself in my ego having this attachment to those experiences, like they prove something to me. So I go through regular long spells where nothing like that feels real. You know, I'm just like, and that's good. That's as it should be. I go through the phases I go through because I need to. But that's one example of that type of healing that I've experienced that really has kept me open to something bigger than me. Even if it's just union of all souls, all the people alive, that's powerful enough.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I feel so moved by that and had chills multiple times. I think you're really pinpointing something that, like, I think, like you said, moving through leaving the church and becoming atheist and having these processes that need to happen, of the disillusionment that needs to happen before the return. And I hear so much from people, there's something I miss about being in those spaces. And I myself still have my favorite worship music on a playlist and I listen to it at least once a week. And I've had like this tension, do I want to support these people? And like all this, you know, all these stories. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like in those spaces, I've never experienced the amount of healing love and unity and connection to the higher and to other people and to my own body that I was having in these experiences. And trying to communicate that to people who haven't had similar experiences is really like challenging because it's not as simple as just, it was a cult and it was fake and you were brainwashed. It's really not that simple. Mm-mm. And coming into knowing like these are actually things that are real, that were just packaged in a way that was actually limiting for what they are. Yeah,
exactly. It just wasn't letting the whole cat out of the bag. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think it's so human. I'm like, of course. And honestly, I wouldn't have been ready for what I'm doing now. 15 years ago, I would not have been ready. Like there has to be the path. There has to be the path. It's just the journey is imperative and it doesn't matter where you start out. I don't care how aligned and whole and, you know, bougie, hippie, wellness your parents are. You will go looking for the shadow and the destruction and the chaos because it cannot not be acknowledged. It is just part of it.
It's
you know what
part
I'm saying?
Of it.
I'm like, I just, gosh, like, how could I? It's, I get it. There's a tension. You know, we have a desire for justice. We have a desire for things to be good and life-giving for people and deliver the oppressed. Like, that's all very noble. And I do feel it. And so I always am like, wow, what is this mystery of life where you can accept what is and yet still maintain the zip code of living here? Like, that is my work. That's the tightrope walk. You know, I am an animal as well. And so there's so many complexities to that.
I'm so curious how your healing and then your use of psychedelics allowed for the space and resonance for this to happen, because they feel very linked, even if they're not happening while you're doing psychedelics, the capacity that they create. I'm making assumptions, but I'm really curious about that.
Okay. I'm going to be completely upfront and say that I heard about half of that because my mind went on like a weed trail of like something that spurred from your question. So can you,
do you want to share that?
That for me? Sure. Well, I just started having this cartoon experience in my mind where like me and my friends were these psychedelic cartoon versions of ourselves. And I was watching us like in a show going through the things in our lives that we've been through and being able to view our stories with that kind of detachment and interest and engagement. Like, where I'm like, I love this story. I'm into it. Like, what's going to happen, you know? And I was just like, wow, I think me and my friends are living like that. And that is wild. So that's where my brain went. That rabbit trail.
I love that so much because it really, to see it as something that's a journey that you don't know what's going to come next that you can enjoy and mm-hmm. enjoy the experience of watching it and being in it as opposed to I have to control this and manage it and make it the way it's supposed to be. As if I say this to myself all the time, I would never have planned this life for mm-hmm. me 2 years ago. And thank God I didn't get everything I thought I wanted and tried mm-hmm. to control. Mm-hmm. Like it would not have been good.
I love that.
Oh my God. But the question I'm really curious is how, I'm just more curious about your experience with psychedelics and healing mm-hmm. from CPTSD. Goodness, that's hard mm-hmm. for me to say. And how it seems like that gave you capacity to retune into a resonance with more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, my first mushroom journey was in January of 2019. And I did this journey with so much intention. I approached it with months of preparation, every day and setting intention for what I hoped for without hopefully clinging to any expectation of the experience. You know, I was journaling every day, like, what are your intentions? Just two or three sentences. And really kind of what I would describe as praying over it, even though my prayer life is nothing like what it was I shouldn't say that. It's cosmetically nothing like what it was when I was a kid, but the heart of it's the same. You know, I'm still seeking to put myself in right order to like what and who I am and who and what God is. And so I really came into alignment and with myself in a way, because I was sent on this whole journey through mushrooms that was like losing touch with all category and space and time and meaning and mattering and all the sort of stories about me that I could possibly remember were gone. I just couldn't experience them. They were just gone. I didn't have access to them. And I found myself almost like suffocating because I couldn't cling to any ideas of anything. I can't describe it any other way. It's hard. It's ineffable. It's hard to communicate, but I can just say it's like going to a black hole. I felt like I was going into a black hole and that I would never emerge. And instead it was, I was going into a black hole of birth in that experience. The deepest, most cosmic, quiet void, you know, of like the pussy of the universe. And I emerged from that experience with less food allergies and with less, almost no OCD symptoms. I didn't bite my nails anymore. I found myself on this new embodiment journey, because my experience with the mushrooms was that they showed me my body from the inside and how, you know, mystical and sacred that is. And it changed everything. It changed everything. And I have to believe that that's both the plant and my intention and preparation, because I was really open and ready and prepared. And I had a safe place to be with like the right setting, the right guide. And I'll never, ever forget it. It was huge for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that you share the layers of bolstering that were around this journey, because I think a lot of people hear things about psychedelics, and the things I just hear people talking about is that just by taking medicine or taking plants, we will just heal. And I think I actually see something really similar happening in the wellness movement, like just eat healthy. And mm-hmm. it really negates a lot of what else yes. goes. And yes. I guess you could say that about any healing modality, that one thing alone extracted from context, extracted from mm-hmm. the medicine of community and the medicine of intention and the medicine of prayer. And like all of those things stacked are so important. Mm-hmm. But I just want to emphasize the yes. importance of that. And I know you already said mm-hmm. this, but that it's not prescriptive. Mm-hmm. It's simply your personal experience.
It is. And everything happens in the order that it's supposed to for me. I don't need yeah. to learn the lessons of 5 years from now. And I don't need to take mushrooms to learn those lessons either. I've really come into a relationship with those things. It's like, I only do those things when my body intuition says you should do those things. It's not like to be a proper enlightened post-Christian person, I have to do mushrooms. I have to do this. I have to, like, there's not a checklist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I don't need that. So I think, yeah, there are things I've done this year and last year that I would have been like, wow, really? You know, a few years ago, and there will be more because I'm not ready for everything at once.
Yeah.
So
I know you also love just like plants in general, like beyond psychedelics as medicine, like plants in mm-hmm. general as medicine. Did that come by way of your healing? Was that always there? Like, I'm just curious.
I did not ever keep a houseplant alive until after I did mushrooms. I didn't. I completely had like an awakening to plants through mushrooms. It was really something. Like, I went to the grocery store the next day in this kind of fog of just what just happened to me, you know, and it had just been mere hours. I had slept for like 4 hours and then gotten up and written down everything I could remember. I went to the grocery store and I walked in and it was like, I heard plants talking to me and my body talking to me and my body saying, I just want to eat plants for indefinitely. So I just stopped eating meat for 9 months and I ate vegetables and fruits and grains and anything that came from the earth in that plant kind of world. And as I did that, it adjusted my relationship to eating. I eat meat now, but it began a process in which I really started to commune with eating as a spiritual practice, as a sacred spiritual practice. And that includes feasting and indulging, and it includes fasting, and it includes discretion, and it includes abandonment. It includes all of those things because it is a journey just like anything else, and it's supposed to be that way. I began to have houseplants everywhere because I just wanted to be surrounded by things that were breathing out oxygen and purifying the air and chlorophyll. And it just felt like life and wholeness. And it was the first time I'd ever successfully ever kept a plant alive was when I went to Home Depot and I got this like cheap little, you know, waffle. It's like I forget what it's called, but I still have it. And it's like very special. I have maybe like 50 houseplants in my house and they are my friends and I love living with them. And yeah, so I try to just commune with everything I'm doing, like the water I'm drinking, the food I'm eating, if it's like something that some people would say I shouldn't eat or not. When I put a tampon in, I say I say this little prayer of like, I know there are toxins in this tampon. I'm sorry, body. Right now, I don't feel like I have a better option. So if you're able to just like help me out here and like we're safe and you can do this and I will continue to try to figure out ways to do everything the best for you that I can. You know, yeah. like I don't do that every time, but I do that sometimes because that it's like tantra.
Yeah.
Just like total presence. That's my goal and my hope.
I did something so similar with it's not a controversial topic to me, but to right now with the vaccine, I chose to get the vaccine and get the booster. Mm-hmm. And I have never been anti-vax, but I'm very curious about the questions people are asking.
Yeah,
and totally. I am really open to hearing people's feedback and worries and the actual risks, because mm-hmm. there is risk with getting anything mm-hmm. injected into the body. And I realize if I say I trust my body, I also mm-hmm. trust my body with this, and really preparing my body, because for mm-hmm. those of us who've had people, ideologies, things imposed on or penetrated onto us, whether that be the patriarchy or supremacy culture, white supremacy, or like literal physical people, things, foods, control, mm-hmm. anything like that, from a tampon, something that you're inserting in your body, to getting an injection of any kind, can bring up the feelings of repeating that violation, whether it was to you or an ancestor. And so I really took time mm-hmm. to prepare my body, because I personally didn't feel unsafe to get it, but I noticed mm-hmm. this feeling of, I don't know if I'm making the right choice, I'm confused. And I had kind of like let that old feeling wash through me mm-hmm. while I cared for myself and like spoke mm-hmm. myself through that. And now I also, like you with the tampon, I do that with my Diva cup mm-hmm. because I'm like, this is the best choice. And also, mm-hmm. I don't actually have as much time to be like, do you want to receive this Diva cup today mm-hmm. right now? You
know, do yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, I'm doing this.
And same thing with food. Like, sure, like if we were living on this Garden of Eden earth, there would be no toxins in the soil and nothing that had been sprayed on the plants. And I don't always have access to that, or even spring water. You know, I don't drink mm-hmm. spring water. I drink mm-hmm. gratefully. So my partner, this is my partner's home I live in, and she's got a reverse osmosis, like triple mm-hmm. filtration. So mm-hmm. I feel very grateful. But to even like bring intention to the water. And I'll tell you, it's been my favorite practice, and I know that you're familiar with tea practice, mm-hmm. is having that much intimacy with one plant over a long period of time. I interviewed Mariana Rittenhouse, who taught me tea ceremonies. So if anyone's curious mm-hmm. about where I learned that, there's an episode with her. But as I sip it, I just think, wow, like I'm drinking medicine. Mm-hmm. And regardless if anyone else believes that that's true, I believe it's true. And I believe my belief in that changes the way my body receives the tea.
I absolutely believe that too. And water has been the first and foremost way in which I've experienced that. I started working with she goes by many names. People call her an intimacy coach and like a sexual yoga teacher. It's kind of hard to describe what she does, but her name is London Angel Winters. I did a 3-month mentorship with her. And in the midst of that month, where I was learning techniques of connection that are from Tantra world and are from Kundalini world. And I'm saying these things, and I'm fully aware there are many, many people out there who will hear this and say, you've been possessed by demons. You are now in the clutches of the devil. And you are, you know, separated from God. And I'm just going to say,
those people like, probably won't even find this.
Fuck that noise. No, I'm not. I love you. And like, I'm doing awesome. I hope you are. Yeah, go do you. But I started working with her. And while I was doing that, there was this moment and this day where my body started, I could hear sort of my body asking me to do certain things. I'd been not restricting anything I was eating for years because I was in recovery from binge eating. And I just really didn't want to stigmatize my choices with food, with good or bad, or should or shouldn't, guilty pleasure. Like I was trying to really, and I did successfully sort of cleanse that from my way of looking at it. And I was not feeling super happy in my body or how it was feeling or how it was looking, if I'm honest. And it wasn't so much, it became less about meeting a standard or finding someone or any of those things. Then it became about me looking at my body and noticing that it looked like it would die if it tried to run a mile. That's the way I would describe it. It wasn't so much an aesthetic thing as it was like, man, you look slumped and weak and afraid and kind of not happy, you know? And so I was like, how can I seek to change this without coming back into that territory of hyper control and restriction and binaries and right and wrong? And my body said, water. I was like, what do you mean water? You know, like, what does that mean? I ate glasses a day. And my body was like, yes, but no, not that. It's, will you please commune with the water that you drink and be present to the water that you drink? And if you do that, everything will be different. So I started doing that. Every day I would pour myself a glass of water in the morning and sprinkle a little sea salt in it and squeeze a little lemon juice in it. And I would drink the whole thing of water. And every time I sipped the water, even if I was doing other things like brushing my teeth or getting ready for the day, I would sip the water and notice it and maybe thank it or maybe not, but notice it. Notice the water, notice my body's feelings and sensations. And so then it was like after a few weeks of that, my body started saying, you know what, next step, I please eat lighter earlier in the day and indulge in it later at night. And I was like, really? Like, that's the opposite of what I thought I should be doing. You know, I thought I should eat like the higher, richer foods, you know, like way before bedtime. And my body was like, yeah, I know, but that's not what I need. Okay. So I switched that. I started noticing that I didn't get hungry until much later in the day. And I felt better all the time if I ate like a light salad at 1 p.m. and then a really rich dinner that I wanted to eat. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, I've lost 17 pounds. I wasn't even really trying to change myself. I was trying to allow. It's like, I'm not trying to purify anything or detox anything. I'm trying to allow my body to do what it wants to do. That's literally all. And it can be anything. If my body tells me I need another year off of any restriction around anything I'm eating or any like editing to it, great. I will do that. I will follow my body's guidance. No questions asked. So that's kind of where I am with that stuff now. You know, it's like plants are a huge part of that and water is a huge part of that, but all of it is really just presence and staying with it.
Can I share with you my recent obsession that psychedelics propelled me on? Because I'm hearing yours and I'm just like, ooh, I'm like in the midst of my own like body-based fun rabbit trail. On Christmas, I did a mushroom ceremony and it makes me kind of like, I feel the giddy giggly. I get like the intense giggles. I'm so grateful. I like the extreme laughter. And I mean like extreme laughter for me that happens. But I started, I was in that experience and it was like, your teeth are alive. And I kept hearing your teeth are alive.
I love this.
And I like look over and I was like, my bones want to explode. And I was like, and I actually can feel the aliveness of my bones. And it's so weird because even as a kid, I like loved pulling my teeth out. And I like, I kept feeling like, oh, I could just pull all my teeth out. Like and everyone was like, don't pull your teeth out. I was like, I'm not going to pull my teeth out. And I was like, I could bite through anything. And I'm like, wow, please don't bite through anything. You actually can't. But it was the sensation of realizing that like down to my bones, I'm alive and feeling the aliveness that deep. And since then, it's been like this ongoing contemplation. I've researched a lot about teeth and realizing how deeply the teeth are connected to the nervous system and the social nervous system. The shape of the tongue and the jaw alignment and how all of these things are connected and also oral health. So I'm just kind of on this kick right now of like, what are my teeth trying to teach me? And also the phrase show your teeth has been really interesting. Like
that's so interesting.
Right. So I'm just with my teeth and my bones right now in a way that like, it seems absurd, you know, it's like that's, it could be absurdity, but something about it feels really important. Yeah. And like the feeling of my bones could just explode. It feels like such an intense aliveness. Like I'm so alive. I'm so alive. And the whole 2 days afterwards, my entire jaw and my gums ached.
Wow.
Until I did, there's like some stretches in your gums to create space in your mouth. And it was like the space in my mouth was too tight.
Wow.
It was in my jaw and in my cranium. And so I've been doing some work with that too, but it was like, it wasn't a profound, like, and then my whole life changed. It was like, my teeth are alive.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But I love that. I feel so alive listening to it. It's kind of like we think of our bones. We don't realize like they are alive. They can get cancer. Like they are beings along with us inside of us. And our teeth are connected to our heart. Like if your tooth is dying and you don't take care of it and tend to it, your heart can literally stop moving. It's like, whoa, it's exactly what I'm talking about. Communing with everything that we consume, that we are, that we think, like every thought, literally to commune with our thoughts because they exist. And our teeth are the same. I love that. Like it brings to mind so much for me that I have so much trauma around dental work. And like, I would call it almost cursed by a dentist when I was a child who told me, you've always had bad tooth enamel. You were born with it. You'll always have it. You're going to have issues with dental health your whole life. So just get ready. And that is how it has been. It has been cavity after extraction, after death, after cracking, after, I mean, just like I have like a $100,000 mouth and it's still not great, you know, gum disease. And just like, it is a place where I know there is like healing to be done, you know, and I've been conscious of that, but I just haven't been rushing it. But I'm going to take this as a little nudge to listen to some of the things that you're listening to.
Yes.
To see if I can like undo this curse that was put on me, because like, I think I can do that, you know, no problem. Let's get into it and get out of it and change it. And so that's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
They're also discovering now with our bite and our jaw that we can regrow facial bones. And enamel actually can regrow. It was a false idea that you don't have enamel. And so I found a toothpaste that has an ingredient. If you want a link, I can send you a link to the toothpaste.
Please. That would be incredible.
I'm not kidding. I'm like, idea. I'm so deep with teeth right now.
I love that.
What in the world?
With the teeth.
Yes.
Wow.
I feel so excited because this is just such a reminder to me to really trust those intuitive nudges and the insights that feel completely absurd. Like sip your water and notice it. It's like, that's so simple.
I know. And so it is. That's the most magical thing there is.
Yes. There's literally hours worth of conversation that I like in questions that I have for you, but I want to know if there's anything that you really want to touch on before we move to rapid fire.
Yes, there is. I want to talk about music for a moment. Yes. Not just in a simply sort of business world, self-serving way, although of course that's in my brain because I have to operate as like my PR person, or at least at this point I have to, you know, it's a hat I wear, but so I'm just naming that because I saw it kind of fly across my brain like a little arrow. It was like, promote your shit. but what I wrote down some things this morning that I don't have with me in like a movement journal session that I was doing, which is where I put on music and put in my headphones and I move my body, anything from like shaking or stretching my hands to like dancing in a way that I would have done in front of my mirror when I was 15. Sort of, it expands the gamut. And this is a practice that I do as much as I can. And sometimes I follow it with journaling. So I'll just write what comes out. And that is what the poem that you read at the beginning, that's where it came from today. And I was like communing with music today as I was listening, you know, I was listening to songs that you would not usually hear in like a new age ceremony. You know, usually you hear like spa music or binaural or sound bath. And this was like the real Slim Shady. I was like praying to Eminem today and just communing with what my body was feeling. And it was cool. It was a moment I've needed to have for quite some time, because after I decided to do this Kickstarter, in which I knew that a lot of people would be finding out for the first time that I wasn't making Christian music anymore, that I wasn't practicing Christianity. I've been public about those things, but they just haven't spread all around. So I knew that a lot of people would be finding that out. So I've been like, okay, this is going to be a birth for me, this 30 days of doing Kickstarter and really truly being willing to let go of what other people think, what other people want me to do. And of I don't know. I'm like, maybe at the end of this, I'm not going to fund this Kickstarter and I'm not going to be able to do music for a living anymore. I don't know. I have to allow for that to be possible and to accept it, you know, as possible. And to find my equilibrium during this experience of fundraising. And so I've been doing that. And it's been bringing up questions like, who am I if no one wants to hear what I'm going to do now? Who am I if I can't write another song again that anybody wants to hear? Who am I if this was it? And now I'm going to be fill in the blank, you know? And in this communion with music today, I was like, oh, you're in that space again, right? I was in that space where it was like, I was kind of aligning and feeling the time disappear. And my body was like, it does not matter. That stuff, like, welcome it when it comes and release it when it leaves, but you're communing with the earth and like your pussy energy and like your, that's going to heal you and make you happy. So who the fuck cares? Like whatever else comes from it, you know? And so like, I just want to say for anyone listening who has had a relationship in the past to my music, like I'm glad and I'm thankful for it. And this is my little flag in the ground, not of rebellion or of rejection of my past or anything I've done or what I've believed, but like a flag of celebration that all of this gets to be here in my story, my career, and in my work. And it feels like my body realized that today. So I want to mark it because it feels really holy to me. And that's the end of my thoughts. I really wanted to vocalize that today. So thank you for providing the space.
Yeah. I cannot wait for the new music. It really feels like you said, you know, your body's an oracle. Our bodies are oracles, but you really do feel like a channel. And it's always felt that way with your music, I will say. And it, the clarity in which things seem to be coming through, I'm really excited to see what you create.
Thank you. Me too.
So let's do some rapid fire. And by the way, okay. I'll link your music and all the things in the show notes. If anyone's like, I want to listen, I'm new to this, I'll link in the below. So, okay. Rapid fire. What is your spiritual background?
Christianity.
What are you most enjoying learning right now?
Pussy magic.
Yes. What is your go-to coffee shop order?
It's tea, actually. Yeah.
How do you know when you know?
I feel a yellow ping of energy in deep in my pelvic bowl.
Mm. What does grace mean to you?
Compassion and courage.
What identities have you had to let go of to own your fullness today?
The compliant one and the one who's doing a great job all the time and trying really hard at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I resonate with that one. Like trying so hard. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Last question is, what do you want?
I want to be both powerful and peaceful in every arena of life that I enter.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I feel so grateful to talk to you. It's like, I almost feel like it's like a friendship kickoff. 'Cause like I've followed you for quite some time now, but we've never, other than that call we were both on once, haven't really spoken to each other. So I'm really glad to have the chance to do that.
Me too. And I'm really not that far from Nashville and I love Nashville, which I think is where you live, right?
Can you come stay in my magical plant house? 'Cause I would love to have you sometime.
I would love that. It was one of the last places I went for the Kacey Musgraves concert before the pandemic. And I just love Nashville. Like I had thought about moving there a number of times. It's great. So I'm going to show up and I expect to eat and do all the things.
Okay. Awesome. Let's go. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Everything Belongs. I am so grateful knowing the amount of input and content there is available that you take the time to listen to this show and so value your attention and the fact that you choose to keep tuning in. If you're curious about today's guest, you can go to madisonmorgan.com/podcast to get all of the show notes and all the links to their website. If you are receiving heaps of value from this podcast and want to continue to support the team that makes it possible, or just simply say thank you, consider contributing to our gratitude offering. It is a small way to say thank you and give back to the podcast by creating reciprocity. We have 4 different ways for you to contribute, from $7 a month to $37 a month, or even a one-time thank you contribution. You can choose your level of support from $7 monthly, $17 monthly, $37 monthly, or a one-time contribution. And for those who choose to give on a monthly basis, what you'll get in return is an 8-minute hypnotic induction, which is basically a fancy meditation to support you in anchoring in gratitude as your baseline state. It uses nervous system regulating breath, bilateral stimulation that helps you reprogram old stories, binaural beats for calming your mind, gentle hypnotic suggestions, and absolutely zero cheesy count your blessings type lists. Plus, whenever you choose to support on a monthly basis, you get access to my close friends on Instagram. This bonus gift is my way of saying thank you so much for supporting the podcast, where you will join my Instagram close friends and will basically be able to hear my personal rants, photos, daily happenings, and the hilarious memes that I share with my closest friends. This content is created just for fun. It's not marketing material. It's nothing that I create specifically for my business. It is just for fun, and I would love to have you in that inner circle. Basically, I would love to share my weird with you as a way to say thank you for supporting the podcast. Plus, of course, you will receive insider's access to all the discounts I offer, first dibs on new opportunities to work together, and that generous feeling of abundance and reciprocity for contributing to something that you get a lot from. If you're curious about joining the gratitude offering, you can go to madisonmorgan.com/gratitude-offering. And if you're looking for a free way to say thank you and to contribute your energy to the show, please leave a 5-star review. That is the simplest and easiest way to send your generosity and to send your thanks. And it really helps boost our ratings in iTunes and reach more people who might enjoy it. In the meantime, I would love for you to join me on Instagram, DM me, and let me know your favorite part of this episode. And until next time, remember that curiosity can be a portal to a life where everything belongs.